Meanwhile, in New Jersey...
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, the practical effects. And also the male gaze?
My gaze at the males.
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
Put down that smartphone and listen to me. I'm Matthew Milligan, professional musician and lifelong Weird Al fan. Each week, I'm joined by professional podcaster and close personal friend, Matt Kelly, to take a dive off the deep end into the vast career of pop culture icon Weird Al Yankovic on our show, Weird Algorithm. Along with some very special guests from the worlds of music and comedy, we tackle every song, every television appearance, and every bit of sketch comedy Al has produced in chronological order, covering the good old days of My Bologna and Eat It, the fun zone of Tacky and White and Nerdy, and everything in between. As we go, we're ranking the songs, albums, and music videos in the hopes of creating the ultimate guide to a career bigger than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. So the next time you're having one of those days stuck in a traffic jam wondering why does this always happen to me, just kick off your sneakers and stick around for a while because we've got it all on Weird Algorithm, available wherever you get your podcasts. And now you know. Was that enough references?
Meanwhile, in New Jersey...
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, the practical effects. And also the male gaze?
My gaze at the males.
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
Hello, Horror Movie Night. I don't think you expected to hear my voice on this bonus episode, but I have a really special treat and some two fabulous folks in the studio. That's not how this works, but I have them in the studio here to talk about their upcoming film, Stranger in the Woods, which is dropping on VOD on Valentine's Day. It is the perfect treat. Perfect date night movie. I got a chance to watch it. I would say maybe it's not a perfect date night movie. I think if you're listening to this and you know me by now, Valentine's Day, maybe the day after. Let's check it out. Not with somebody who is a first date, a second date. Let's make sure that we're in a safe space to watch it because this is an intense indie horror flick. And I have writer and star Holly Kenny here. I have star Brendan Brown here. I'm really excited to talk to y'all. So thank you so much for coming on.
Yay. We're so excited to be here. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, just our listeners love to hear about our connection with horror, your connection with horror. So I think I just want to kind of start out there and then we'll get to talk about the flick. You know, Holly, as a writer and star, it's kind of that's a double whammy that we don't see often, but horror always seems to be really fertile ground for that. So I'd love to hear about your background with the genre and then sort of where this idea and story came from.
Yeah, so I have been a fan of scary movies, thrillers, horror, paranormal, ever since I was a kid, honestly. I would watch, like, The Sixth Sense. I would watch a lot of Hitchcock, specifically The Birds. it was like my first Hitchcock movie, and I loved it. And I was like, this is great. And anything that was cutesy from like Casper all the way up to the Blair Witch Project, I was just like watching in my room all the time as a kid. And it always just looked like so much fun to make. And I also have like real life, like paranormal stories and stuff too. So I think that that's kind of where that draw also further developed and came from, was just like, I just always had a curiosity about it. And I thought it was so exciting and so fun, and grew up watching it all and just had a dream of doing that one day. Just a dream of being covered in fake blood, which is every little girl's dream.
Absolutely.
I think, really. Absolutely. Deep down.
You are living the dream. How fabulous.
It's insane. Yeah, it's an absolute trip.
Very cool. Very cool. Brennan, what about for you? What connection do you have to the genre, or where did you just have to ride this roller coaster?
You're spot on with that one. I got the pleasure of riding the roller coaster. This is not my favorite genre of film. Mm. I do enjoy it. I do have some that I've seen and love. Holly mentioned a few more classics. I really haven't dove super deep into the genre at all. I have a couple friends that are obsessed with horror, Holly being one of them. And they've helped me expand my horizons a little bit. And I certainly watched a lot in prep for this one, just to kind of get the idea and the, you know, how characters are supposed to act and how you want to present it to the audience, which certainly helped because it's not something I was super familiar with. But I got to say, after making one, yeah, it's definitely opened my eyes a little bit. I do watch a little bit more now. I'm a little more interested to see, not only because it's in comparison to our own film now, but I, you know, as a full-on movie fan and everything, and an actor, I love watching movies and being like, oh, how did they do that bit? You know, you know, being behind the scenes side, and now having that interest in the horror and thriller genre where you have these suspenseful and, you know, you realize how much music adds and all this other stuff. It's really fun to watch those and be like, oh, I wonder how they did this bit, or what kind of, you know, was this actually at night? Was this in the daytime? Did they do this in slow motion with intent? Was it an accident? Like, yeah. It's way more fun now to look back, having been a part of this genre, and, you know, see other ones that have paved the way.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, just as a viewer and a fan, this film does feel like it wears a lot of those on its sleeve, while also being a unique voice and a unique story. It's like, I felt that, you know, you have this sort of true crime story. Well, for the uninitiated, or for those who don't know or have not heard or watched the trailer is out. Obviously, the film's out now. But a group of friends take a much needed retreat to the woods, to a cabin in the woods, particularly to help their friend Olivia cope with some really traumatic instances that
she's
just
been through
building.
It.
She's been through it. And which I also, you know, as a female screenwriter, I find that's gotta be, I'm interested. I shouldn't put any words to it. I'm interested. I think in the horror genre, we see a lot of men who have written about these women and their experiences, experiences that they could never really know fully. And even if the writer hasn't gone through them, it's like there's a whole genre of psychotic women films or crazy women films that are written by men that, you know, are sometimes difficult to grasp, particularly of an older era. So I would love if you would just kind of chat about your experience in writing that. Is it cathartic? Is it totally removed? Is it like, what is that for you? Especially since this is your first feature. Is that correct?
This is my first screenplay and my like theatrical acting debut. So
amazing.
Absolutely. Everything about it is so surreal and incredibly bonkers. I mean, writing this really came out of a place of necessity for multiple things, mainly because commercial acting wasn't like getting me anywhere. I wasn't having any luck. And I was living in LA for a few years at this point in time, and just nothing was really happening or moving. And all I kept hearing from people who were successful was, make your own stuff, write your own work, make something that you would want to do. And I just one day kind of had the idea loosely pop into my head, and it eventually became a cathartic write for me. Olivia, although I can't completely relate to her story, I can also definitely relate to a lot of the themes that she goes through. Fear of not being believed and feeling like, you know, the gaslighting a little bit of people who are supposed to be close to her and people who she's supposed to love and trust, and just the fear of, it's not necessarily strangers who are always the people you need to be afraid of. Sometimes it's mm-hmm. the people who are the closest to you and that you know the best. And to me, that is horror. To me, that is terrifying. You know, it's not a monster. It's not a masked man who just wildly running through the woods for no reason, slaughtering people. It is intentional, and it's broken trust. And so that it did come from a place of catharsis. And so writing it was really therapeutic in that sense, but also just so cool to challenge myself. I never thought that I would be writing anything. I was like, no, I'm just an actress. I'm just here to act. And then I think the way that the industry has gone, you have to wear multiple hats, I think, now in order to be successful. And so I just had this little idea. And at the time, Brendan was also Kyle's assistant, Kyle Newacek, our producer. And Adam and Kyle are brothers, and they have wanted to make a movie together since, you know, probably the beginning of time. But they just never found a script that either resonated with them or was like feasible to make in terms of budget or whatever. But Brendan came up to me at the same time this idea first kind of came into my head, and he was like, hey, word on the street, it's the Newacek brothers finally want to make a movie together. If you happen to have anything, start writing. And I was like, it's so funny you mentioned that. And so that was all the way back in 2017.
Wow. So these troops have been in the wings and ready for a long time. Brendan, you gathered these folks, and Holly, you knew, and like, it sounds like this, and it, you know, it kind of reads that way. I mean, you know, when you watch an independent film, you kind of feel that there is this sort of like coming together of people that have been really, really working on this or have been stewing on it or molding it into something that they can do DIY. And also, I mean, from 2017, it's like you guys have all had these experiences that now make you better professionals and creatives and like ready to take it on. And it really shows. I mean, the flick is fun. It's tight. Our listeners will love that it is like 90 minutes, just under 90 minutes, which is fantastic.
That was, that was always a goal. We, you know, before we even got, you know, the film and or the filming done and the edit, the amount of versions of the script that I, because I was involved so early with Holly, and then, you know, as soon as I was pitching this idea to the Newacek brothers and kind of bringing the script to their attention, they, you know, Holly and I and fellow actor Radek, we all spent a lot of time on this script refining and versions and changing scenes and editing, and we went through so many versions before we even brought it to them to read, and then went through more. And it's funny now to look back and you know, as an actor, like Holly said, you know, you didn't think you were going to have to write. You didn't think you're going to have to do these other steps. And I grew attached to scenes that not only, you know, didn't make the movie, but we didn't even film. They were in versions before or stuff like that. Or the way, you know, the way it does pan out in the end, you have this new creation, which while it follows the script, you have these moments that you're like, oh man, I never even thought we'd get to do this. This is so much more or so much more interesting because of who's in the role or the way we got to do it or who was filming it. And like you
said, because we know the budget now.
You have these restraints or you have the freedom in some cases to do some stuff that we didn't think we were going to have. So then that changes stuff where, you know, we had wrote to a constraint and then it got opened up and we got to do the exact opposite, where you're, instead of minimizing or cutting something, you're like, oh, well, we can expand on this because we have this amazing opportunity. We have this whole village of cabins to use now, as opposed to just one like we thought we were going to have. And it, for, you know, for those that don't know, Holly, myself, Radek, both the Newacek brothers and several people in our crew have known each other for like pre-high school. We've known each other for a long time. We've been on each other's radar. We don't always work together, but this was kind of this, like Holly said, this perfect moment for us to come together and get to do this thing where me and her both want to act and they wanted to produce and direct a movie together. And then the rest of the crew and the rest of the cast kind of got rounded out by friends of friends or other friends that are slightly outside of that group. Adam brought in a lot of the crew. You know, our DP was someone he went to college with and has shot with before and kind of let him build his crew out for the camera guys. We used a lot of, you know, recommendations and stuff. So it really was a family affair when we got out there, which, you know, for building something, that's, it's the best way for it to happen. We had had all of us from, you know, the small script parts in the beginning to then getting out there and still feeling like a family. And it was a lot of people, you know, because it's the indie genre and these are the films we're making, it's a lot of people that work in these departments that not necessarily have gotten to be the head of their department. And everybody then, because they're the head, you know, are people that work in props or set are now, you know, production designer and set designer and all this stuff. So everybody is elevated to want to do their best because everybody's kind of getting an opportunity that they not necessarily have had before. That type of environment, not only as like yourself, like I'm experiencing that as an actor and getting this opportunity, how incredible. Everybody around me is excited because everybody else is also getting kind of their moment to shine, made set so incredibly fun. And like, you know, having worked on movie sets before, you don't see it where crew or cast are hanging out on their off time. Like everybody's just on set because no one wanted to leave. Like everybody was so excited to be there and do it. So
that's what's up. And I love to hear stories like that. You know, I think being in this industry, you hear a lot of horror stories or just things that don't gel, and it just seems so easy to be doing things this way and be on a set and with a product that you end up being like really proud of and happy with, and people, like you said, are elevating. I love to hear that was actually the case, right? You know, like it's you never know with a product. So I'm glad you get to share that with us, because that was my other thing, is like, did it feel daunting to wear those multiple hats? Was it exciting? Was it both? Like, what was, and that's for both of you guys, because you both had worn many hats and have been with it since the beginning. Was it, what were the most gratifying, and what were the hardest moments of just wearing multiple hats?
Honestly, I feel like the most gratifying thing is kind of, I've experienced it multiple times. I feel like I'm experiencing it again in a new wave right now, because we shot this movie back in the summer of 2021. So a lot of time has passed. Indie filmmaking is hard. But wonderful. But so I kind of feel like it's this new wave, right? And so now it's, back when we were filming, there was this sense of so much pride and gratitude, because for years before we were filming, I was writing it, and this was just a daydream, and this was something that I was hoping was going to happen, but didn't have any clue that it actually would happen. Just a hope and a dream keeping me alive for those few years. And then we were actually filming it and being on set and seeing people holding the script in their hands. And, that was weird. And seeing crew members who I hadn't known for years being on set and being so passionate and so excited and giving it their all. Like, I don't think you understand. We had such a skeleton crew. I believe there were, like, with cast and crew, I believe there were 19 or 20 of us total.
If the IMDb credits are reflective, it's crazy. It really is wild, the size of the crew. And you know, we knew your cast was small, but like the crew size is, it's tiny. So that's wild.
Tiny. And so to be there on set and just like thinking like, this was just an idea I had in my head one day, and now here I am on set and I'm looking at all of these people who are so talented and who care about this as much as I do, that was such a pinch me moment. And I think that it's really reflective in the final product, that everyone gave it their all. But it's also another wave now of seeing posters and seeing all of our names on it and seeing stills and knowing that finally all of this work, all of these years is about to kind of pay off and everyone's going to see it. Is just... That's the dream. Not only do you get to make it, but then the people get to see it. That is the dream, and I'm forever grateful. It's unreal.
Awesome. Brennan, what about you, man?
It's funny. I was listening to Holly a little, well, not just listening to her a little bit there. Listening he to the whole never thing. Listened but,
to me. That's why he, so caught bits, he caught bits and pieces.
Bits and pieces. No, no. But like, you know, it's crazy when you hear someone say something out loud. It's obviously the same feelings you kind of have. And then you hear somebody else say it and you're like, oh, wow. Okay, good. We all agree. We all felt the same way. Honestly, when we were doing the project, when we were actually out there on production, those shoot days, like that was when I was supposed to be doing the job that I was most excited to do, which was the acting. And while I felt prepared and excited and felt comfortable, it's also probably where I felt the most nervous because it's the thing that I'm supposed to be doing and the thing I'm supposed to, you know, bring my element to the table. That's where I'm contributing. So when you have this awesome crew and other actors that are all delivering every day, you just feel like, you know, you're trying to elevate yourself and you're trying to make sure you deliver every day. And while that's mm-hmm. always the goal, it's nervous. This is, I have a few other credits, but nothing the size of this one. And I finally now have this opportunity and this is my chance that Holly has created and written this role that I'm in. And you're hoping you're going to do it justice. You're hoping you're doing the rest of the crew and the team justice. Mm-hmm. You just don't want to be the weak link. And sure. I think, I really don't think our film has one. The way it's come out and all things mm-hmm. said and done from, you know, pre-production, the writing to the production itself and all the post, like Holly mentioned, it's years, you know, yeah. five, six, seven years. It's a long time.
And two decades of work is kind of sure, crazy, guys. Right? I just like.
I mean, it's an insane amount of time. And there was plenty of time where something really could have gone awry. And sure. for whatever reason, and you know, our team was able to lock in and keep it together, and we get to deliver it to an audience, you know, next week, yeah. you know, or it's exciting.
Yeah, it's and honestly, you were completely right. Everybody delivers. I mean, just talking about your performances, you know, the thing that I really love conceptually is that, you know, these are adults, young adults playing young adults. You're not young adults playing children. You're adults with adult things that have happened in their lives in a setting that maybe we've seen before in the woods at a cabin, you know, and it's like there's no kid logic here. You know, this is adults, and you know, maybe they're trying to be the best friends that they can, and they're falling short in that. And you know, there's a lot of adult themes that are both severe and then also just like normal trying to relate to your friends shit that happens. It kind of walks mm-hmm. that whole array, which felt like it was very relatable. So then when shit does hit the fan and it hits, we really get to feel tense. And I just thought everybody really brought that, both of you included, obviously. So really, really impressed with your performances all around.
It was so nice to hear that. Yeah, it was a Thank note you. We actually picked up. We had intended it always to play our own ages, which are, you know, in our 30s for the most part of the crew or most part of the cast. And we had picked up a note from someone who read the script at some point saying, yeah, keep it this way. Don't try to down age. You know, don't, you know, so many people are intent.
Don't make it high schoolers.
Don't do it high school. Don't even do college. We've seen that movie and you just, there's less life to build off of. No, you know, it's far less frequent where you see it. You know, a horror thriller, and it's about just 30 somethings. Like it's really the younger crowd you see, or you see family situations. So yeah. It was kind of, we had a little untapped area just in that. And we really held on to that, which, you know, we were able to add some stuff to certain people's characters that I feel like otherwise would have not been an option had we, you know, gone with younger characters. And it makes it easier, I think, on, you know, there's so many elements everybody's working on acting wise that you're trying to hold on to for your character, and moving your age significantly, or, you know, even by, you know, 5, 8, 10 years is just something extra where you're like, okay, would I say that as that aged person? Like you can at least keep your, you know, your standard way of talking or your dialogue and vocabulary the same, but you're just working on a character that's of the same age bracket, which is something at least to hold on to.
Yeah. Yeah. It just felt so relatable. Like the characters felt very relatable in that, you know, you could be any one of those friends in that friend group, right? Like you know, you can kind of place yourself anywhere there. Which I thought was fantastic. I dig movies like that. It helped really amp that dread and that terror and that fear. At the beginning of the film, one of the cars has a "Stay Sexy, Don't Get Murdered" sticker on there. Unless that's a spoiler. Unless I don't
spoil it. No. I was just like, so that's my actual car. So that little silver SUV is my actual car.
I was like, it has to be somebody's.
Definitely. Everything you see in the film, props, set, deco. It's all of ours. The clothes are ours, whether we bought them or owned them previously. Everything in it, like so much of the set decorations and stuff are, they belong
to who had the taxidermy collection.
Okay. So this is multiple. So one of our crew members, Cassandra.
Cass.
She was like our set decoration props, you know, kind of jack of all trades. Her and Margo, who was our production designer, pretty much ran everything in that department. They sourced everything. She actually did a lot of the taxidermy. All the smaller ones that you see in the movie, she was like doing the days leading up to set. She like had a little station.
Days leading up to it, we were watching her just casually skin a squirrel while the rest of us were just like talking about normal things.
DIY, baby. That's DIY.
If you needed a better like scene to get into the mood of this movie, it was like all of us hanging around a campfire, meeting each other, getting like the juices flowing for the film, and she's off like at kind of an estranged table with a work lamp, like pinning
huge
these things.
Work lamp.
Oh my god, like it was so
pitch black outside. It was
she's the Clayton of the crew. Then
she is
very much so. Yeah,
and then thank goodness for her because she was amazing. And when I was writing the script and I came up with the taxidermy, and not only is it taxidermy, but my sick brain was like, well, why don't we mix match? Clayton would totally do that. He would take, you know, the tail of a skunk and put it on a rabbit. Yeah, why not? Like, and just thank goodness for Cass, because when I realized we were actually going to make this movie, I was like, people are going to judge me. People are going to be like, this girl is sick. She is twisted. But Cass, my girl, she was right there with me, and she was so excited. And I was like, yes, this is
kind
of
they really did add an element and make the character who does them all, Clayton, his character, you know, is the one who does all the taxidermy. And it really made it feel realistic that, like, you know, those Frankenstein pieces together are something he was working on or doing. And then a lot of the bigger pieces that you'll see in the film, some of the, you know, the deer head or the fish or the ducks, those came from, I have family friends who duck hunt that had several. One of the deer heads has been in my grandparents' garage for 50 years, and my grandmother couldn't have been more excited to see it go. I took it and, you know, used it and then brought it.
Yeah, it's not going back to her house.
Went to bring it back, and she's like, you hang on to that. And it is now in my child's nursery, which is hilarious.
So, even our DP, Travis, incredible. Travis's dad's friend. Like, when we say this is a family-made movie, like, we are not kidding. Travis's dad's friend and his dad gathered little critters that they would just see on a road and just, like, gave them to us in a freezer. And so we didn't make this movie in Los Angeles. We filmed it in Northern California. Mm-hmm. And just to think of all the dead animals in freezers that made that 5-hour drive up with us to film is just so funny.
No, it's amazing.
And it's just a trip when you think about those like funny little moments.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. No, I really did, like, well, good. I'm glad you answered. It was Northern California because it's a beautiful location that y'all filmed at. And, you know, between the beautiful location and how you're describing, you know, the energy on set, people, I've heard people say that sometimes these indie films can feel like a summer camp. I hope that was the case. It looked like that. What was it like working with two brothers? Like, what is that? Obviously you've known them for a while, but now you're on set working in a different capacity with them. Was it exactly what you thought it was going to be, or was there some sort of weird synergy there that happened?
Brendan, do you want to take it? Because Brendan has worked with this was my first time really working with Kyle. Mm-hmm. But Brendan's worked with him more. But this, I guess, would kind of be your first time really working with Adam then too, right? Kind of.
Working, like on a big professional level. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, So I've known the Newacek brothers since I was seven, I think. I was best friends with their youngest brother, Louis. We like met in first grade, and Louis had two cool older brothers, and I had two menace little brothers. So Louis always wanted to come to my house, play action figures and swords with the little brothers, and I always wanted to go to his house and watch his teenage brothers shoot, you know, home movies in the yard. Like right. That was what I was like, you know, just because it's not what I had. And I was like, this is so cool. I don't have a big brother. This is so awesome. You know, flash forward years later, when I moved down to Los Angeles, and reaching out to people that I knew to try to, you know, get a foot in the door and figure out what I was, you know, what my place was going to be in this industry. Kyle had already established himself working on Workaholics as a director, producer, creator, and everything. Adam had actually worked on it a little bit as well. And that last season, which was 2016, I got on as Kyle's like full-time assistant, for that last season of Workaholics. And then we went off and worked together. Me as his assistant for like 3.5 years, pretty much till just before the pandemic. Not that that had any timing to do with it. It just had happened to be what it was, but we went from Workaholics and working on, big Netflix movie called Murder Mystery with Adam Sandler and his team, which was awesome. Him and the Workaholics guys made Game Over Man in that time, really forming, you know, a very professional working relationship as well as friends, because we did have that history together. And then Adam and I have always been more closely related in like our hobbies and stuff. We do a lot of the same things, so we have that relationship. Working with both of them together on set, they function so well together, which is probably something you don't experience a lot with brothers. Like you think there'd be some things you argue about, and they're never arguing. They're challenging each other. Like not in the sense of like, this is better, you're better. Da-da. It's like, well, wait, let's take a step back. What are we doing here? Like what's the, you know, they are covering each other's backs at all times. And Kyle, who's been, you know, a director for most of his, you know, and producer, like him stepping back out of this and just being a producer on this and being on set and using that value and letting Adam have his directorial debut.
Yeah.
Was a huge opportunity for both of them to get to do it, not only working together, but them in these roles. So really, for the most part, it was just exciting. Like two people that I've known for so long and worked for as a much lower level employee, I would say, getting now the opportunity that we always talked about while I was working for him, you know, like, hey, one day I hope you are acting, or I hope, and like to get for these guys to get to do my big first role. And I'm sure Holly feels the same way. That first big thing is with these guys that we've known. Like, not only was it like a comfort thing to have them around, but I'm so excited they're my first, right? Like that's kind of the feeling that you get. Like
special,
it would have been great. It would have been fine anywhere, but like I'm never gonna forget my weeks in the woods. Like it's that it has that feeling, and it was so cool to have both of them, and they were so motivating of this crew and this cast, because they knew they were probably certainly Kyle, the most experienced people on set in the industry the longest. So they kind of took on these, you know, what they've been, these big brother roles, where it was like, hey, how can we help you guys also succeed at your job? Because this is for everybody. We're all doing this. We're all going there together. Let's go.
Yeah.
It was the best.
I think too, I was going to say, I think Kyle really was there if Adam needed him, but I think Kyle really took a step back in the producer role and just let Adam shine as the director, which was so cool to see. And also to give you a taste of like who Kyle and Adam are. So our 20 person crew was scattered in like this little neighborhood village. And so multiple cabins were being used, and there was one cabin in particular, which is the one that we stay in. And I think just throughout the day, people are making cups of coffee and all these kinds of things and making a mess. But at the end of the day too, it was also where some of the crew members were actually staying and sleeping and trying to rest at night after working their butts off all day. cut to Kyle and Adam, who are hand washing all of the mugs, all of the dishes that the cast and the crew have been using all day long so that the kitchen space is clean for the people who are staying there. Like, that's who they are. These are the people who will give you give you the chance and the opportunity, and they're not above anybody else either. You know, and it, like, they are just filled with such support, and they were there to support each other. They were there to support the cast, the crew, anybody who was involved. So they've just been amazing, and I'm forever in debt to both of them, which is great for them, bad for me, you know.
Well, that's great. I figured, you know, I figured they're off probably talking on some other podcast or blog, so I wanted to make sure I got the real tea about the brothers, and I'm bummed that there's no, I'll edit it to talk about them brawling or something. It'll be like real, real jerk.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll talk to you about really that later. Manipulate your
the nicest things you said, I'll manipulate. I'm just kidding. That's so fantastic to hear. Again, I mean, I kind of keep saying this, but you hear all these stories, and sometimes you don't hear any stories, right? Sometimes a movie drops and you don't have the opportunity or the chance, or nobody talks about it. Nobody wants to talk about their experience. Everybody just wants it to exist and go away, right?
Sure.
And to have something so close happen with such a tight-knit group, with friends old and new, to have it out there, it's just so exciting for y'all. I'm really excited to have more people discover this, to have more people discover you both as you continue to go on, write more, act more, do more.
Hopefully.
Thank you. Yeah.
The fingers are crossed.
That's the whole plan. That's the big.
That's the dream.
Anything that you guys wanted to say or talk about before we wrap up, you know, I'll let people know where you can say the thing that you'd like, and then you can let people know where they can find you, and then I'll let people know where they can see the movie, and we'll go from there. So anything else y'all want to add? Any anecdotes, any favorite taxidermy, you know?
Oh, man. I couldn't even choose between the taxidermy, but if I had to choose, I would say maybe now I'm tied between two. I think the big white rabbit one, because he had a little like cast made him like a little like backpack with like bow and arrows. I mean, he got accessorized. Like, who does that?
Yeah.
Who does that? Cass does, and she's amazing. That one is hands down my favorite. But I think I just ultimately want to say that this has truly been a dream come true, and I can't believe it's finally going to be out there for people to see. And it's really just a story about survival, and I love Liv. I really wanted her to be a smart character. I really tried to make her smart but grounded and real. I didn't want her to be this, like, you know, done up, dolled up kind of girl. I just wanted her to be real and to feel like a girl who's going through it. My God, that poor girl. Yeah. She needs a break. And
this was not the break. This was apparently not the break that we all expected it to be.
No. No, her next break is probably to like the mental ward, because she needs a vacation
to be safe,
and nobody around her except for her dog. But yeah, this is so cool that this is coming out, and forever grateful I have the opportunity, and I hope people enjoy it. I hope they love it.
Yeah, you made the comparison earlier to, like, you know, people often say set, you know, like summer camp, and I very much connect with that and feel like this is what it was. Like, we've been talking this whole time about how awesome the crew was, the cast was, the, you know, filming, the experience, everything, the director, the producer, how we're talking about how wonderful everything was. And I think we hold on to that because the story we're telling isn't so bright all the time. Like, so the experience, like, that was kind of the balance while we were there. Like, you know, we'd say action and it's not this wonderful moment that we're doing. So then as soon as we're out of it and it's cut, everybody felt safe to be like, okay, whoa, deep breath. Okay. Like, there was a lot of that, like a lot of gearing up that some of the characters have to do for some of the scenes that you'll see. It was a lot of like, let me go take a quick walk in the woods and like get into this space. Cause everything I'm experiencing outside of the acting is very pleasant and very wonderful. So it was, while it acted as a great escape and a great come down for a lot of stuff, it would all, it then, you know, it gave you that balance of having to like jump into it every day and, you know, every take and as we move scenes and move through everything. So mm-hmm. I think having that balance of looking back on, like, you know, the product and what we did is scary and thriller, and I hope everybody loves it. But the experience I had doing it in its entirety was really wonderful and really, really great. And that's how you got to make movies. Like, for the Newachek brothers, who have done huge budget, you know, massive stuff, this is what, like, both of them at the end were like, we miss this. Like, this is what it's supposed to be. This is why we came down here. It's stuff with our friends that we're just as proud of as some of these massive jobs we've, taken in the past. This was a really cool experience for everyone involved, I think. And my
last tip too is, when you watch, make yourself a nice little spaghetti dinner while you sit and watch.
You can do that enjoy. On a budget too. Don't feel like you need to spend.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Keep it simple. Right. Cost next to nothing.
Oh man, this has been. Speaking of pleasant, this has been a total joy. I'm so glad we got to talk about it. So, The Stranger in the Woods is coming out on VOD on February 14th. It is a gnarly, tense thriller, really tight. Really lovely moment. Lovely moments. For horror fans, they're lovely moments. When I say lovely,
let's be honest. The lovely moments are of Coda the dog.
There's a dog in it.
What more do you need?
It. Yeah, and don't be scared. The dog. There's a dog in it. You don't need to hold that too tight and be scared.
I'm not evil, you guys. I'll leave you with that.
Yeah, but it's such a great flick. Really enjoyed watching it. Really enjoyed talking to you guys more about it. And I hope people check it out. VOD Valentine's Day. And where can people find you? Where can people? Oh, in the movie, I think on Instagram it's Stranger in the Woods _film. Sorry.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
That's correct. And you can find me on Instagram at It's Halls Balls.
And I'm on Instagram and I'm on Instagram as bbrown1920, which are just favorite numbers, you know, not my name at all, so people are always hunting for it, but yeah.
Great. Well, my name is Hall Small. That's exactly how you can find me.
Well, thank you again for joining us on Horror Movie Night, and all the best and huge success with Stranger in the Woods. Thanks so much, y'all.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Put down that smartphone and listen to me. I'm Matthew Milligan, professional musician and lifelong Weird Al fan. Each week, I'm joined by professional podcaster and close personal friend Matt Kelly to take a dive off the deep end into the vast career of pop culture icon Weird Al Yankovic on our show, Weird Algorithm. Along with some very special guests from the worlds of music and comedy, we tackle every song, every television appearance, and every bit of sketch comedy Al has produced in chronological order, covering the good old days of My Bologna and Eat It, the fun zone of Tacky and White and Nerdy, and everything in between. As we go, we're ranking the songs, albums, and music videos in the hopes of creating the ultimate guide to a career bigger than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. So the next time you're having one of those days stuck in a traffic jam wondering, why does this always happen to me? Just kick off your sneakers and stick around for a while, because we've got it all on Weird Algorithm. Available wherever you get your podcasts. And now you know. Was that enough references?
Meanwhile, in New Jersey...
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, the practical effects. And also the male gaze?
My gaze at the males.
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
Put down that smartphone and listen to me. I'm Matthew Milligan, professional musician and lifelong Weird Al fan. Each week, I'm joined by professional podcaster and close personal friend Matt Kelly to take a dive off the deep end into the vast career of pop culture icon Weird Al Yankovic on our show, Weird Algorithm. Along with some very special guests from the worlds of music and comedy, we tackle every song, every television appearance, and every bit of sketch comedy Al has produced in chronological order, covering the good old days of My Bologna and Eat It, the fun zone of Tacky and White and Nerdy, and everything in between. As we go, we're ranking the songs, albums, and music videos in the hopes of creating the ultimate guide to a career bigger than the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota. So the next time you're having one of those days stuck in a traffic jam wondering why does this always happen to me, just kick off your sneakers and stick around for a while because we've got it all on Weird Algorithm, available wherever you get your podcasts. And now you know. Was that enough references?
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.